Gaion madion idon tantria. Ramayat yaturam jagat. Aho devarshir danyoyam. Yat kirtim sharanga donvanaha. Gayan madhyan idam tantriya. Ramayat yaturam jagad. Aho. All glories to Devarshihi, the sage of the gods. Danyaha. All success. Ayamyat, one who, kirtim, glories, sharanga danvanaha, of the personality of Godhead. Gayan, singing, madhyan, taking pleasure in, idam, this tantriya, by means of the instrument, ramayati, enlivens, aturam, distressed, jagat, world. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. All glory and success to Srila Narada Muni, because he glorifies the activities of the personality of Godhead. And so doing, he himself takes pleasure and also enlivens all the distressed souls of the universe. Purport. Sri Narada Muni plays on his instrument to glorify the transcendental activities of the Lord, and to give relief to all miserable living entities of the universe. No one is happy here within the universe, and what is felt as happiness is Maya's illusion. The illusory energy of the Lord is so strong that even the hog who lives on filthy stool feels happy. No one can be truly happy within the material world. Srila Narada Muni, in order to enlighten the miserable inhabitants, wanders everywhere. His mission is to get them back home, back to Godhead. That is the mission of all genuine devotees of the Lord, following the footsteps of that great sage. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the first canto, 6th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Conversation Between Narada and Vyasadeva. The great sage is talking to another great sage, his disciple Vyas. And he has given his instructions and his order, and now he's departing. He has departed. And it's a final comment by Suta Goswami. This Narada is most fortunate. Why? Because everybody is engaged in some service, but everyone else is engaged in miserable service, dominated by the modes of material nature, acting through the forces of nature, through other living entities, in his own mind. Everyone is dominated and suffers misery. And the Maya, illusion of Maya is so powerful that it makes him think that he's happy even in his misery. But Narada is a rare soul who's free from that influence of Maya because he's always chanting and taking pleasure in the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's auspicious, he's fortunate, and everyone who can follow in his footsteps is fortunate. The great fortune is not wealth, fame, even good health. These are not our great fortune. So you can keep yourself healthy. But what's the use if you're going to live like an animal? To live for a long time if you waste your life. Better to be sick and die early, but be Krishna conscious. Varam muhurtam viditam gotate shreyaseyataha. Better a moment in Krishna consciousness than a long life in ignorance. So, those who follow in the footsteps of Narada are also able to enjoy life, even in the material world. Vishvam purna sukhayate. This is the description given by Prabodhananda Saraswati, describing the good fortune of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are in the disciplic succession of Narada Muni. So it's the same good fortune coming through Narada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kaivalyam Narakayate, Tridashpur Akash Pushpayate, Durdant Indriya Sarpa, Kala Sarpa Patali, Prokt Kata Damstrayate, Vishram Purna Sukhayate, Vidhi Mahindra Rishcha Kitayate, Yat Karunya Kataksha Vahe Bhavavatam, Tameva Goram Stumaha. This is Prabodhananda talking on behalf of himself and anybody else who's interested to join him. We offer our respects, our praise of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because by his influence, all the miseries of life are transformed into happiness. The materialists think that sense gratification will make them happy. They're fools, and the world is full of them. There are few persons who presume themselves to be spiritually advanced, but they're actually bigger fools, the impersonalists who want to merge into the existence of God. They're the biggest fools. They have fallen prey to the last snare of Maya. You know what a snare is? What's a snare? What kind of trap? A mouse trap? A lion's trap? No. What's that? No. For small birds. A snare is actually just a piece of rope somehow. It's used to catch small birds. Small birds. That's called a snare. We're just small birds. That's for Maya. Easy catch. The parakeet, you just grab it in your hands and you got him. You can't do that with an eagle. Grab him in your hands. But you can grab a small parakeet. He may complain, but you've got him. So we are just little birds in the snares of Maya. The last snare of Maya, because the person who realizes the futility of sense gratification still falls into the last trap. And that's, you can become God. You are God. So, the devotees who have gotten the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu don't fall into that trap. How can they avoid it? You listen to the Mayavad Bhashya commentary on Vedanta or any of the books of Shankaracharya. If you listen uncritically, you'll be swayed. Just like if you see the beautiful form of a woman, then you'll be attracted. So you listen to the sweet words of Shankaracharya. He's the greatest mystic yogi. You'll become enchanted and become a Mayavadi. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya warns, don't listen critically, uncritically rather, to the Mayavad interpretation. Mayavad bhasya shunile hoy sarvanash. You listen openly with faith, or just with neutrality even, to the Mayavad commentary, and everything will be ruined for you. Whatever you've accomplished, spiritual and material, it's all finished. So, this is a great danger. But the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who have actually gotten his mercy, they're not attracted to the idea of Kaivalya. Kaivalyam Narakayate. It's no more attractive for them than the prospect of maybe going to hell. You know, you can go anywhere you want during the vacation. Does anybody want a ticket to hell? You know, anybody ask Gurmita for a round-trip ticket to hell, a one-way ticket to hell? No, nobody wants to go there. So the devotees who have received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they don't want to merge into the existence of God any more than they want to go to hell. Tridashpur, well, what about the materialists who would like to go to heaven and enjoy the apsaras and the celestial gardens? Tridashpur Akash Pushpayate. For the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this heavenly pleasure is like flowers in the sky. What are flowers in the sky? There aren't any. Flowers don't grow in the sky. Rabbit's horn, square triangle, it's an absurdity. It's of no value. You can't do anything with flowers in the sky because they don't exist. You know, I'll give you a suitcase full of $3 bills. Well, there are no such thing. So there's no use for it because it doesn't exist. So, in other words, for the surrendered devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the pleasures of heaven have no real existence. Insubstantial. Nothing to them. Yeah, it's there. You can actually go there if you want. But there's no value to it. No attractive value. So liberation is worse than hell. And elevation to heavenly planets is nothing. Nothing to be attracted to. Nothing to really be interested in for the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, well, okay. But I know I'm supposed to be a fully surrendered devotee of the Supreme Lord, but I've got these senses, and they're always demanding gratification. And they're poisoning my spiritual life. But for the surrendered devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the senses, which are like black snakes, poisonous snakes, very dangerous thing to, if you see, accidentally come near a poisonous snake, you're in danger. What to speak if you're keeping them in your pocket, you know, walking around with them. You've got them, you know, crawling up and down your arms and legs. Then you're really in danger. But we have got these black serpents built into our bodies and our mind, these senses. They can poison us at any time. The snake hasn't bit me yet, but he lives in my, you know, the same room with me. He can come out any night and bite me while I'm asleep. Never know when the snake that lives together with you could bite you. So like that, the senses, they haven't bitten me yet. I haven't died yet, but they could destroy my life at any moment. All it takes is indulgence in gross sense gratification to completely ruin my spiritual progress. And I've been brahmacharya for so many years, but who knows what maya I can fall into. But for the surrendered devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, those poisonous snakes have had their fangs removed. the people, snake charmers, little boys from the snake charming community, come around with the snake in a basket. It looks like a poison. It is a poisonous snake, but his fangs have been removed. Therefore, he can't do any harm. He can't, even if he tries to bite you, that poison tooth is missing. And therefore, there's no way for poison to enter your body. You're safe. If you surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and become his sold-out servant, then even the senses cannot do harm to you. Your own mind and senses cannot do harm to you. And then, Vishwampurna Sukhayate, the whole material cosmos becomes a pleasure garden, an amusement park, only full of happiness. Purna Sukhayate, there's no misery for the surrendered devotees of the Lord, especially the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yam labdva chaparam labam manyate nadikam tata. When you've achieved Krishna consciousness, you become convinced that there's nothing more desirable. Yasmin stito nadukena gurunapi vichalya. It says in the Gita, Krishna says that even great misery cannot deter you from your determination. Because actually you don't feel the misery. You're too busy being ecstatic in Krishna consciousness to notice the pain of material existence. Just like somebody playing soccer or some other sport may get injured, and he's so excited in the game about playing the game that he doesn't even realize that he's broken a bone or he's bleeding. Or a soldier in battle may not notice he's injured because he's so absorbed in the fight. Like that, devotees of the Supreme Lord, when they're really absorbed, they don't even notice the pain of material existence. The body and mind may be experiencing it, but the awakened soul doesn't even pay attention, doesn't even notice. And therefore, Vishram Purna Sukhayate, any situation in the material world is just a cause of pleasure for him. He's happy in any situation. Vidhi Mahendradis Chakitayate. Well, okay, my senses aren't going to harm me, and I won't be miserable, but what about these powerful lords of the universe? They may decide to come and destroy me, especially if I'm making spiritual progress. They may send something to make me fall down. But you don't have to be afraid. If you're a surrendered devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you do not have to be afraid of these powerful demigods and other powerful beings. Vidhi Mahendradis Chakitayate. Even Lord Brahma and Indra are like little insects for a pure devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not that we become offensive or negligent of the demigods, but we don't have to be, have no reason to be afraid of them. Therefore, the same Prabodhananda Saraswati, in the same Chaitanya Chandramrita, he offers an apology to Indra and the other demigods, that we're sorry if we've laughed in your faces and thus insulted you. It's just we can't help it. In the ecstasy of Sankirtan, we say things we didn't really mean to say. And so please accept our apology for insulting you, for laughing at you. That's possible for one who's actually taken shelter of the Lord. As Narada has. He's singing and madhyan. He's feeling the intoxication of Krishna conscious enjoyment. Just like a drunken man doesn't realize that his clothes are falling off and he's falling in the gutter. He doesn't even notice. He's just enjoying himself in his drunken stupor. So on the other end of the scale of existence, the pure devotees of the Supreme Lord are enjoying such pleasure that they don't even notice. What do they speak of? Notice the pains of material existence. They don't even notice material existence. They don't know if they've eaten or slept, or whether they're dressed or not. It all is carried on automatically by the modes of nature, and they pay no attention to their own material existence. And like that is Narada. He's always happy. And those who follow in his footsteps... What does Prabhupada say about that? That is the mission of genuine devotees of the Lord, following in the footsteps of the great sage. That means trying to help the suffering inhabitants of the material world become Krishna conscious. That's the mission of all great genuine devotees of the Lord, following in the footsteps of Narada. Narada feels that compassion, and therefore he imparts that feeling of compassion on his followers. And they want to deliver the unfortunate living entities. The one who is fortunate, he can help someone who is unfortunate. He's got the assets, but he also has the motivation. As long as you are dissatisfied and frustrated, you're not going to be able to feel compassion, the motivation for wanting to help others. We have to rise above having problems of our own so that we can help others with their real problems. These petty, insignificant problems should be neglected by pure devotees. You may have to engage in problem solving as your service. If it's your assigned service, that's responsible management to deal with problems, but mostly other people's problems. But to just obsessively worry about problems when it's not your job to do that, when it's not the appropriate time and you're not the right person to worry about it, is what is called in modern psychology neurosis. You know, a living entity who's exposed to a real threat should react to it and save himself. But when we have imaginary threats, that's called neurosis. When we're obsessed with threats that aren't really there or aren't really significant. You know, threats to our ego. You know, he offended me. That just means that he bruised your ego. And if you were actually serious about Krishna consciousness, you would be very pleased about that. You would be thankful. Thank you for helping destroy my false ego. Thank you for insulting me. But instead, we become angry when we're insulted. Even slight insults make us angry. That means we're attached to our false egos. Following in the footsteps of Narada means to put aside false ego. He doesn't care what people think of him. He's singing and dancing, and people may think him a fool, just like the movie producers. They present Narada as a fool, the farcical Narada. He's always, you know, he's a joke. He's saying Narayana, Narayana, and acting like a fool. But that's the wrong image of Narada. That's not the real person. He's the most sober, the most intelligent, and the most merciful. He's not a fool. He's not a clown. So those who make Narada to be a clown, they have no understanding who he really is. Yes, he's laughing and dancing and singing, but that's not a material foolishness. The laughing, dancing and singing of a drunkard. This is the laughing, singing and dancing of an elevated, great sage who is a pure devotee of Krishna. He deserves all respect. That's where insults cause real harm. When we insult the pure devotees, then we do harm to ourselves. So, amanina manadena. We should not expect any honor for ourselves. In fact, we should welcome dishonor. But we have to show honor to everyone else as appropriate. Not just the Paramahamsas and insult everybody else. Yeah. No. Manadena, without any qualification, you have to be ready to give respect to everybody. Especially, first of all Vaishnavas. Even if they are offensive, and even if they have done violence to you, if it's still a Vaishnava, then he must be respected. Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta. Someone who has chanted Hare Krishna must be shown respect within the mind. But you can't show respect in the mind if you are angry or hateful towards somebody. It contradicts. You can make a false show externally, but you can't fool the supersoul within your mind pretending to be respectful when you're actually hateful. So the hate, the resentment must be given up. You must forgive the Vaishnavas who do harm to you. You must forgive them. Otherwise, how can you show respect to everyone? What's the use of showing respect to a cat, a dog, a materialist, if you don't respect the Vaishnavas? So that is the first, of the first commandment. Thou must respect the Vaishnavas. If you don't, then you're inviting the mad elephant to come and trample your devotional creeper. What's this about mad elephants? Why do elephants get mad? They have false egos also? No, it's mata. Mata means intoxicated. Okay, how does an elephant become intoxicated? They don't drink beer. Yeah, so maybe you can train an elephant to drink beer. What is it? Maybe in exceptional cases. But... there are many documented cases of elephants. Okay, but that's not actually what the Vedic image, the poetic image of a maddened elephant is something else. It's not the one who broke into a brewery. What is it? No, that's not it. It's not angry. Mata. No, it's actually... a natural process in his own body. It's when the elephant is actually sexually agitated. There's the hormones set into action, a gland in the forehead that creates this liquid that makes him go crazy. It's actually when the elephant is in rut. I guess, I don't know how often the elephants get sexually agitated. But when they do, this, what is it called? It's called mata. Okay, but it's also called just mata, a simple term. It comes out of their forehead and it goes into their blood, and then they go wild. So it's actually caused by their own body, by their own hormones. And that's the original idea of a mata hasti, an elephant in rut. Because when an elephant is disturbed like that, elephants have big bodies, so they'd have to drink a lot of beer to get drunk. Now, the bigger the body, the more you have to drink to get intoxicated. But when an elephant is in rut, when he's sexually agitated, and this mudda fluid is coursing through his veins, then he really goes wild. And that's when he could trample everything growing in your garden. Anyway, that's the image. That's the idea, original idea of a mata hasti. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes.
On this last point of mata hasti.
Yes.
That sometimes there's even people that drive them in such a condition. Because I remember there was a description, I think in the Bhagavatam or somewhere, yes. I saw that the elephants had their, in the city, had their
stuff coming out of their foreheads,
the,
yeah.
With the mata or the mada coming out of their forehead. And so they were intoxicated, and that was part of the procession. Somehow, do you know anything about that? They are able
to control
them.
Well, that's a poetic image. It may be an exaggeration. It's just like when you want to talk about a swan and you want the swan to be poetically significant. You got to call him Rajahamsa, king of the swans. So if you want an elephant to be a really impressive elephant, he should be an intoxicated elephant. So the image, the word, the phrase is always used in poetry. The adjective. Yeah, 1 second. But in real life, such an elephant would be hard to control. You'd have to be a very expert elephant driver to sit on top of him and make him go where you want to go when he's in such a condition. Maybe possible. But I think the reportings in poetry of such maddened elephants, they're poetic exaggeration in a lot of cases. I guess if you took one into battle, then it could do a lot of damage to your enemies if you could keep under control. Yes, would you have an answer? Yeah.
There are some herbs which can stimulate them. There are some herbs which can stimulate
artificially them. Stimulate the
yes,
same
and they
effect,
do that
yeah.
before taking them to battle.
Oh, okay.
They feed them these things and they get mad by the time.
Okay. It's the same natural procedure, but it's artificially stimulated.
Yes.
When they take him into battle.
Like, even when Kuvalaya Pida, Krishna was fighting.
Yes.
It said, I don't know, there was one verse in Padyavali that Krishna's arm, like, they have the scent of this mother from Kuvalaya Pida.
Oh.
Something like that.
Okay. So it's Udipana.
Narada Muni, in his,
I see, the elephant smells it, and that drives him crazy. Is that it? It comes out of his, normally comes out of his forehead. Okay. But it seems like the smell of the mada liquid is what makes the elephant crazy.
A different topic.
Yes.
Narada Muni has his form as...
you don't see too many elephants in Govardhan. Once, I remember seeing 2 or 3 in the last 10 years. But you don't see too many elephants at all around here.
Different topic.
Yes.
In Gaur Leela, we see that Narada Muni has his form as Srivas Thakur. And he is a very great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But his activities are also very mysterious, and sometimes it's very difficult to comprehend. Like, for example, in the case when he started clapping his hands and said that when I clap 3 times and when I don't get food, I'll jump into the water or something like that.
Yes.
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, how do you support yourself?
Yes.
So that seems very difficult to comprehend from the normal platform.
I mean, it's too serious?
It's beyond the scope of comprehension for many people. Because even as devotees, we are told that our material duties and activities that we need to perform, our dharma, our actual...
Yes.
Service and all that. So everybody has to support themselves with...
Well, not everybody. There are special devotees who are exempt. If you get full mercy, then you can quit your job and even quit your family. So Srivas Thakur wasn't empowered to leave his family, especially since his family were all associates of Lord Chaitanya. Even his servants, the maid servants and man servants in the household were all great devotees. So it wasn't part of the lila for Srivas Thakur to take sannyas, but it was part of the lila for him not to be very serious about being a responsible householder. He never went to work. know, he didn't care about it. And it wasn't in the mood of seriousness. You know, if I don't find any food, I'm going to commit suicide. Yeah. What he meant was, I don't care. Yeah. Krishna can feed us if he wants. And if he doesn't want to feed us, who cares? Okay, if we're all starving and I got a big family here and a whole household of people and I'm supposed to feed them all, that's okay. If we don't get food for 3 days, we'll all jump in the river and drown. Who cares? So it wasn't in a mood of seriousness. It was a mood of who cares?
Is that signifying the principle of Goptritve Varanam Tata? Is that signifying the principle of Goptritve Varanam Tata?
Yeah, exactly. But that's Sharanagati. He's beyond even just Sharanagati. Sharanagati is the beginning of real devotional service, taking shelter. He's eternally, he's already taken shelter. That he's on the highest levels of ecstasy, at least in his own rasa. So he's on the top of the scale. Not only he trusts Krishna, but he trusts Krishna to an unbelievable extent that ordinary devotees can hardly comprehend it.
So even though we cannot imitate his activities, how do we learn things from this and we can practice so that we can also take shelter of Krishna?
We should try to follow in the footsteps in some, according to our capacity, the example of Srivas Thakur. How to be, especially for grihasthas, how to be a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Or for Sanskrit scholars, he was a Sanskrit scholar studying with Devananda Pandit. How a Sanskrit scholar, the proper attitude of a Sanskrit scholar in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that we can learn from the example of Srivas Thakur. Srivas Adi Gaur Bhaktivrinda. He's so glorified that he's one of the Panchatattva. All the devotees, we offer respect to all the devotees of Gauranga, headed by Srivas. He's the first of all the devotees. And he even gets a place on the altar, standing with God and his internal potencies and his incarnations. So glorified. You're embarrassed if someone bows down to you. What if they put you on the altar and make you one of the Panchatattva? Yeah, how embarrassing that could be. So definitely everything he does, we should not imitate, but try to learn from it, learn how to be a proper devotee from him. Applied to our own situation. We can't, blindly copy. We have to adapt it to our own capacity and our own situation. Okay? Yeah. Yes, sir.
Question about preaching. While we suffering ourselves, still we have some problems, and we may go on preaching, and we won't be able to feel full compassion to those people because we are suffering ourselves. We didn't solve our own problems, and at the same time, we may just observe to solving our problems, and in this way forget about preaching. So, how to keep a proper balance between solving between saving ourselves and giving Krishna consciousness to us?
I would suggest don't worry about saving yourself, just try to save everybody else. But do it. Don't expect that you're going to feel much compassion if you're still suffering. Then just preach in the service of your spiritual master. He's Krishnananda. He's experiencing the pleasure of Krishna consciousness. I'm not experiencing it. I'm miserable. But I'm trying to help assist my spiritual master. So I'll assist him in preaching. He feels the compassion, and I'm just helping him. And in that mood, in that capacity, let me give everything for preaching. Let my own life go to hell. Let me suffer. Let me be miserable if Krishna wants me to be miserable. But let me try to assist my spiritual master. And give everything for that purpose. That's best recommendation.
And that can be a source of our pleasure that we are doing for spiritual master.
Yeah, if you can do that, then all that misery will just dissolve. Then you get full mercy. Tasman manusheshu kashin me priyakrit. Nobody's more dear to me in the whole world than such a devotee, who despite his own misery is trying to help others. And he's able to do it because he's taking shelter of a spiritual master who has real compassion. And that spiritual master is taking shelter of his spiritual master, going back to Narada Muni. That's all. The compassion is coming from him. That's why he's the first of devotees, because he's got the original stock of compassion, and we're just sharing in it.
So, and maybe finally, when we follow this mood, finally we'll purify ourselves and we'll feel real pleasure by serving our spiritual master, and in the same way we'll be able to feel real compassion also toward those people. Because
why not? If Krishna is thinking there's nobody better in the world than you, such a devotee, then certainly he's going to want to give his full mercy and solve all problems for you. Because if you satisfy the Supreme Lord, then everything, all problems are going to be solved. Maybe not immediately, but we should be very confident that they will be solved. And then we can just tolerate and, as much as possible, just ignore the problems and go on with our service with the confidence that everything's going to be solved by Krishna himself, by the Super Soul.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's stop here. Thank you all. Glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.